Monday, December 22nd. And as we approach Christmas, we're also pondering our personal resolutions. Just a week or two from turning the page on another calendar year, we have the privilege of wiping the slate clean and starting all over again. Welcome to Insight for Living. Today, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll conclude his four-part classic series on the sanctity of life. So what are you hoping to change in 2015? Maybe losing a few pounds, spending more time reading, or hitting the treadmill. All good things. But today, we're challenged to dig deeper. Chuck believes it's time for strong resolve.
This is a time for strong resolve. It's a time for strong resolve. We cannot, we dare not just sit back and sort of hope for the best. While in prayer about so much of this, I was led ever so gently back into the great book of Psalms in Scripture, the book of Psalms. How unusual it seemed to me that God would lead me there. I, like you, have always thought of the Psalms as a book of great praise and a book of devotion. But suddenly it seemed to pulsate with exclamation points that were inherent in the text. Psalm 120, the writer is in trouble, and he admits it. He says, "I'm in my trouble, I cried to the Lord. Now," he says, "he answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips." That's plural. "And from a deceitful tongue," I take it literally, that's singular. "One deceitful tongue has created numerous lying lips who believe the deception. And now I'm the victim of the verbal assaults. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? Strong arrow, sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree. Woe is my situation. Woe is me. For I sojourn in Meshach, I dwell among the tents of Kedar, and too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace." Look at that. "I am called to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I'm called to be a man or a woman, a leader of peace. But there are those that want to fight. They want war. Look at the last verse. I'm for peace. But when I speak, they want to fight. They're for war." Oh, the tragic stories made me appreciate all over again this great church God has raised up and has maintained over the years. Why would his favor rest on us like this? He is in a situation where he speaks for peace and shalom is his theme, but he's surrounded by those who want to fight back. They want to wrestle. They want to bear arms. I don't know what all of this is saying to you, but you can't deny the scenery is stormy. And the battle is raging. It occurred to me that it's time for some strong resolve. As I said earlier, we can't just sort of sail and drift aimlessly and expect to do much that will change much. I want you to care about your character more than your reputation. And I think these strong resolutions will help make it happen. You may not be the type to write things down, and I understand if you're not, but if you are, I suggest you locate a blank page in the front or back of your Bible and put at the top of it your own writing, strong resolutions. And I want to suggest, with the little bit of time I have left, five statements that I want to resolve before you. And I will ask nothing of you that I will not give myself to with equal vigor and commitment. First, resolved to be alert to the presence of evil and the strategy of the adversary. I am resolved to be alert to the presence of evil and the strategy of the adversary. He has insidious plans. His strategies are clever, may I even say, brilliant, more than you and I would ever imagine. Be alert to his presence. Second, resolved to stay fervent in prayer. I want to make that resolution public so that you can hold me accountable. I want to be more a minister of prayer than I have ever been. I resolve, you, if you are with me, resolve to stay fervent in prayer. Let me add a thought to that. Not hesitating to call down supernatural assistance. Not hesitating to call down supernatural assistance and, when necessary, divine discipline. To stay fervent in prayer and to call down supernatural assistance without hesitation and, when necessary, divine discipline. All the way through the Psalms, I read courageous words, strong words. In fact, you would think the man wrote them out of sheer anger as he commands in prayer. He commands God to silence the enemy, to confuse the chronic complainer and critic, to remove the cause of unrest, to make miserable the one who makes war. Those are strong prayers. And let's fight our best battles on our knees. How about it? Rather than becoming better at debate and more clever in our sarcasm, and if you are in ministry, using the pulpit as your favorite hammer, let's drop to our knees and do our best work on our knees. And if it's some great cause, if it's some great vision, if it's some great concern, whether it be worldwide or in your own tiny cubicle of life, take it first to God to stay fervent in prayer through the decade. Third, resolved to refuse to retaliate in the energy of the flesh. I so resolve to refuse to retaliate, take our own revenge in the energy of the flesh. When I'm swung at, the great tendency is to swing back. I was taught how to do that. It comes naturally. And so it is with most of you. The adversary loves it when we take him on one-on-one. He loves that. Remember the story I told you some time ago about the man who had listened to me preach on another occasion and he had come to know Christ, and early on he gave me a phone call and he said, "I just want to tell you, Chuck, I'm a new Christian and I'm ready for the devil one-on-one." Oh boy, I said, wait, no. Don't kid yourself. Well, he called me just the other day. It's been several years now. He says, "Chuck, remember me? I'm the one who called you and said," I said, "Yeah, I remember." He says, "I'm not ready to take the devil on one-on-one." I said, "You've learned." He said, "Have I learned?" That's like my taking on Larry Bird one-on-one in a game of basketball. Are you laughing? Or Michael, I started to say Michael Jackson. That's not the right name. Michael Jordan. You know who I need to take on Larry Bird? I need a substitute. I need Magic Johnson, who could beat both of them at the same time. Yeah. One-on-one, he certainly could win, but I couldn't hold a candle. I could get two dribbles and watch them do a layup. I can't do it because they are better. They are stronger. They are taller. They are more capable, more gifted. And so is your adversary. You attempt to retaliate in the energy of the flesh, you will experience defeat again and again. Joseph wouldn't do it with his brothers. David wouldn't do it with Saul. Paul wouldn't do it with Alexander the coppersmith. His last lines in the dungeon, "Lord, you take care of Alexander the coppersmith. He has been misery to me in the ministry." It doesn't mean at times you won't confront. And it doesn't mean that you don't, as a leader, at times have to do a strong thing and make tough decisions. But it means you are not by nature a fighter. You are by nature one who substitutes when you know you are outmanned. How important to stay accountable, not to live our lives as Christian Lone Rangers, not to think we can handle whatever pressure comes. We cannot. We cannot. We are inadequate. So we resolve to refuse to retaliate in the energy of the flesh. Listen to the Living Bible's rendering of Psalm 5, 8 to 10. Just sit and listen. Lord, lead me as you promised you would. Otherwise, my enemies will conquer me. Tell me clearly what to do, which way to turn. For they cannot speak one truthful word. Their hearts are filled to the brim with wickedness. Their suggestions are full of the stench of sin and death. Their tongues are filled with flatteries to gain their wicked ends. O God, hold them responsible. Catch them in their own traps. Let them fall beneath the weight of their own transgressions. For they rebel against you. What wise perspective. The enemies of righteousness are not your enemies. They're enemies of God. He can handle them. Let him. Tell him. Release them to him. The devil is given an advantage whenever we retaliate in the flesh, and he comes in like a flood. Fourth, resolved to refuse to slacken. Yeah, the word is slacken. To refuse to slacken, surrender, or quit the path of obedience, no matter how intense the pressure. To refuse to slacken, surrender, or quit the path of obedience, no matter how intense the pressure. It is so easy to agree to this and think, yeah, that's us. We're all sitting together, hovered around this same book. But I'll tell you, when it's Tuesday afternoon in the middle of June, and you feel all alone, or you're thousands of miles from home, and a temptation drops in your lap, I'll tell you, it's another story, unless this is your strong resolve. Ours has become a soft generation, men and women, a generation of greed, a generation of self-satisfaction. For whatever reason, we are now more prone to give up or take a path of least resistance. Many of us raised by work ethic parents picked up a work ethic mentality, but our kids have not. And the whole idea of hard work at tough times and standing like a steer in a blizzard at cold times or against all odds at tempting times is foreign to many in our times. Chances are good our children are weaker than we are. And alas, some of them have learned it from us. Let's take on resolve. Let's stop the whole idea of if it's uncomfortable, then just don't pursue. If it might offend someone, then don't make waves. No, obedience is a lonely path. Let's walk it together. Let's determine today to walk it together. I hope you can say, as you watch my life and as you hear my words and as you read what I write in the coming decade, I hope you can say there is a man who has not slackened or surrendered or quit the path of obedience. I hope that. I so resolve. Fifth and finally, resolved to seek to glorify the Lord God and trust the word of God regardless. To seek to glorify the Lord God and to trust the word of God regardless. How much do I mean that? I mean that more than pleasing people. I mean that more than promoting self. I mean that more than escaping affliction. This ultimately becomes the major filter of one's life. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the glory of God the Father, in the power of the Spirit of God. What a way to live. Doesn't mean we become killjoys, grim reapers in a day of joy. No. No one can laugh like a believer. No one has a freer conscience than one whose conscience and heart have been washed by the blood. No one has reason to laugh at life like the believer. To glorify God doesn't turn life into a series of grim demands. It's load lifting. It's freeing. May I repeat the resolves one after another? To be alert to the presence of evil and the strategy of the adversary. To stay fervent in prayer, not hesitating to call down supernatural assistance and, when necessary, divine discipline. To refuse to retaliate in the energy of the flesh. To refuse to slacken, surrender, or quit the path of obedience, no matter how intense the pressure. To seek to glorify the Lord God and to trust the Word of God. And that little word, regardless. You might think, this is new. I don't think anything like this has ever been said around here. This isn't new. I did a little research and found Martin Luther's words a couple of years ago, 1531, and I got new courage from a sermon preached in the early part of the 16th century. Listen to this courageous man. Christendom must have people who can beat down their adversaries and opponents and tear off the devil's equipment and armor that he may be brought into disgrace. But for this work, powerful warriors are needed who are thoroughly familiar with the Scriptures and can contradict all false interpretations and take the sword from false teachers, that is, those very verses which false teachers use, and turn them round upon them so that they fall back defeated. But as not all Christians can be so capable in defending the word and articles of their creed, they must have teachers and preachers who study the Scriptures and have daily fellowship with it so that they can fight for all the others. Yet each Christian should be so armed that he himself is sure of his belief and of the doctrine, and is so equipped with the sayings from the Word of God that he can stand up against the devil and defend himself when men seek to lead him astray. A man of great resolve. Are you sure you have the power within to make these resolutions occur? These are not New Year's resolutions said in passing after some New Year's Eve party. These are strong resolutions that can only be a reality through the power of Jesus Christ living through us. So these imply that you know Him in a personal way. Let's take care of that. Let's bow together. You may have sat patiently through this message and heard words that, for the most part, you agree with. You accept the analysis that we are a people who have become indifferent and even somewhat apathetic. And you are at a loss to know why that continues to be the plague of your life. Could it be you've never received the power that only Christ can give? Did you become more a defender of your reputation than one whose character models righteousness? See, you're surrounded in this world today by Christians, people who have admitted their inability to do it on their own, and they've come with sins in hand to the cross, and they've acknowledged the only way to find relief from sin and power for the future is through faith in Jesus Christ. And they've deliberately and consciously, we have turned our lives over to Him who can make a difference, who can transform us and give us radical faith and passionate zeal and wonderful forgiveness. Come today. Come today. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for strength that comes in just verbal reminders of the truth. Now, as we attempt to take truth that has been verbalized and appropriate it, make us men and women of courage that will create within us men and women of character. Begin today building a body of strong saints so that we are able to resist the adversary firm in faith. Enable us to see the future as a challenge, not as a tragic problem, and to see victory written across it because of the victory of Jesus Christ. In His mighty and powerful name, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
A time for strong resolve. That's the title Chuck Swindoll assigned to his message today. It's the fourth and final in the classic series on the sanctity of life. And this is the final day we'll mention the CD series on the program, so be sure to give us a call or go online to make your request. If you're listening in the United States, our number at Insight for Living is 1-800-772-8888, or go online to insightworld.org. At Insight for Living, we're intent on addressing the relevant cultural issue of the sanctity of life, because we believe God's Word provides a moral compass. And in fact, not a day passes without hearing from someone who applies something they heard on this program to make life-changing decisions. And for many, this program becomes a lifeline of hope. We thought you'd enjoy hearing one of these encouraging real-life stories, read by one of our staff members, David Denbeck. The letter started, Dear Insight for Living.
I am 42 and live outside of Seattle, Washington. I have vivid memories as a young child of my mother listening to Pastor Chuck on the radio. I recently stumbled upon the Insight for Living smartphone app and was stunned at the depth of sermons offered by Pastor Chuck free of charge. I have listened to many of the podcasts 2, 3, or 4 times. I work as a police officer and work the graveyard shift. When things get quiet late at night and early in the morning, I listen to Chuck's sermons via the app as I patrol the city. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed the podcast, especially the series on Daniel. I felt led this morning to become a monthly contributor to Insight for Living. I really can't justly describe how much your sermons minister and speak to me. God bless you guys at Insight for Living.
My friend, I live in a constant state of surprise as I discover listeners like you who find our program in the middle of the night. Imagine reaching this police officer while working his graveyard shift, taking courage from the life of Daniel. From our earliest days as a ministry, we have been reaching out to men and women all across our country, first by radio and cassette tapes, and today by radio, digital streaming, podcasting, mobile apps, and more. And it's free to anyone who wants to hear Insight for Living. All made possible, of course, because of loyal financial supporters. As we begin to wrap up yet another year of ministry, please take a few minutes to call or write or go online. Now is the time to give your generous year-end contribution. Your donation, believe me, helps us bring Insight for Living freely to those who share our passion for God's Word. The deadline, December 31st, is rapidly approaching. I can assure you that our needs are urgent. We're asking God to meet those needs through friends just like you. Please, while it's fresh on your mind, go ahead and take that step right now, okay? Thanks very much.
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. You can choose either of these avenues. If you're listening in the United States, give us a phone call right now at 1-800-772-8888. You can also go online and make a donation at insight.org. And today, to say thank you for your financial gift, we'll be sending a devotional book that originates from the teaching ministry of Chuck Swindoll. It's called Names of Jesus. 30 chapters highlighting 30 names of Jesus. Find it online at insight.org. A small token of our appreciation, but something we hope demonstrates our commitment to helping you grow deeper in your spiritual walk with God. Thanks so much for taking a few moments to respond to Chuck and giving a generous end-of-the-year donation. If you're listening in the United States, the number to call is 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Be sure to listen Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll presents a time-sensitive Christmas message. That's tomorrow, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Time for Strong Resolve, was copyrighted in 1990, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.